You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Now, as Blake and I shared, we are in a new series. It's week two of a series we've called Buzzer Beater, learning from Proverbs to make the right call at the right time. And last week, we looked at the prologue to Proverbs, chapters 1 and 2. And I told you about my friend Harlan and his buzzer beater CIF winning shot. And this summer, we're studying the book of Proverbs to seek God's wisdom for life's buzzer beater moments. And the thesis statement of Proverbs, as we saw in Proverbs chapter 1 last week, Proverbs 1 verse 7 says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And we talked about how the thesis statement, the overall purpose of Proverbs, is all about finding wisdom. And it starts with our fear of the Lord. And fear of the Lord might sound confusing, but it really just means our reverence or respect, our worship of God, just like we did so beautifully together at the beginning of our night through musical worship. Now, the book of Proverbs, again to recap, is written by King Solomon, son of David. And in verse 6 in Proverbs chapter 1, the word proverb in the original Hebrew is connected to the word scorn. And if you're like me, you're like, that's kind of confusing and sort of surprising. But it means that Proverbs are actually meant and designed to sort of bother us, to get under our skin, to provoke deep thinking in us as we are challenged by its truth. And as you'll see in the book of Proverbs, some chapters have very much a cohesive theme, and other even verses are sort of like pinball. Do you guys know? I think I have a picture of Blake randomly playing on a pinball machine. You guys know those games where you have to like be very quick because the ball is like moving from left to right so quickly? That could kind of be like Proverbs. Verse 1 might be about friendship. The very next verse will be about money, and the next verse will be about lying. And so because of all of this, it's best to read Proverbs slowly and carefully. And that's why for our summer Proverbs Bible reading plan that we'll talk more about in a little bit, that's why if you follow this plan, which I'm challenging all of you to, we will read through the book of Proverbs twice all together. Now, for the rest of this series, we'll explore what Proverbs has to say about certain specific topics, and tonight, we are talking about self-control. And it might surprise you that self-control is a huge part of the book of Proverbs, but really the Bible overall. In the New Testament, self-control is part of the fruit of the Spirit, but it's not usually the fruit of the Spirit that kind of gets a lot of hype or clout. It's sort of overlooked. And this is what Galatians 5, chapter 5 says, starting in verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." Self-control in the Greek that the New Testament was originally written in means to have mastery over, to exercise control over. And so self-control literally means to be in power over yourself, specifically over your own passions and desires. And this is really important because, like we talked about last week, our natural desires, our typical tendencies, are usually selfish. They're about what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. but the Bible calls that foolish and sinful behaviors. And God doesn't want us to be in control of our own lives. He wants to be in control over our lives. Self-control helps us live according to God's desires and not our own sinful ones. That's why self-control is so important. And this is what Proverbs 25, verse 28 has to say about self-control. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. And I also want you to think about this in the context that Proverbs is written. Like, it was really important for ancient cities to have really strong walls for protection and to defend themselves. And so as ridiculous as it would be for a city to have broken through walls, so it is for a person who doesn't have self-control. And in the language of our buzzer beater series, having no self-control is like a basketball team kind of having like lazy defense. And that's the title of tonight's sermon. We have lazy defense when we lose self-control. And when your team does not play good defense, it doesn't matter how good your offense is. You're probably going to lose every single time. And there are a lot of ways that we need God's help for self-control. There's a lot of different areas where we need self-control. And so we're going to talk about just a few of them tonight. The first one is speaking without thinking. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Have you ever said something that you instantly regret? Thank you. Thank you. Not alone. Thank you, Nate. Pretty much multiple times a day. I'm like, why did I even say that? As the words are coming out of my mouth, I'm like, this is not helpful. This is not kind. This is not good. Why did I even say that? Proverbs 13:3 says, "Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin." Proverbs tells us that the quicker we speak, that the more we speak without thinking, the more we will not only be destructive to others, but ultimately will be destructive to ourselves. Here's another area where we need God's help for self-control. It's drunkenness. The Bible warns us against getting drunk and about using substances in excess. Proverbs 20, verse 1 says this, "Wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise." And as you're reading through the book of Proverbs this summer, as we are reading through it, you might be surprised how much this book talks and warns about getting drunk. And I think it's because, again, going back to Galatians 5, how can we be controlled by the Spirit? How can we be ruled by God if something else is controlling us, even on a physical level? And I know for some of us, you might be thinking, okay, well, I know that I'm not going to drink until I'm of age, which is what we want you to do. It's illegal for you students to be drinking or using substances now. But we want you to think already about how you will approach those things when you do become an adult, because you can think about those things now and bring it to the Lord now. And one of my friends has really inspired me in this area. She is married and a mom now, but she has shared with me that when she was in high school and college and into her adulthood, she was really prone to drunkenness, that she did not have self-control when it came to parties, and she would get very drunk. And at first, it would be fun. It was just what she did. But then very quickly, by the end of it, she would realize that it just left her empty. And when Jesus started to get a hold of her life, you know what he asked her to do? He asked her to trust him in this area and to begin slowly giving up drunkenness even at different times, practicing fasting. And she did that. She obeyed God in that area. And her family started even noticing the difference. And they would even kind of pressure her and ask her, you know, you're really not fun anymore. And that really hurt. But she was confident in knowing that her decisions were pleasing God. She knew that he was helping her practice self-control. And what she's realized recently, what I love about her, is she didn't just say, okay, God, you have this part of my life once, and that's it. She keeps opening herself up to God. And so recently, she shared with me that she's no longer getting drunk, but she finds herself going to alcohol after a stressful day. That when she's upset about something, she'll start to drink. And she finds that she goes to alcohol more than she goes to God. And he has challenged her, I want you to give this up completely because you don't need to go to anything else other than me. Sometimes we might be thinking, well, even when we are of age and we do have a little drink, well, I'm not getting drunk, so it's not that bad. But if anything pulls you away from God or you go to it before you go to God, it's not wisdom and it's not worth it. Another area where we need God's help for self-control, it can be related to drunkenness, and it's gluttony. Everyone say gluttony.
Gluttony.
It's kind of one of those strong, like very biblical words. And really what it means is uncontrolled appetite. And this is what Proverbs 23:2 says. It's kind of crazy. Put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. Proverbs is intense. Remember that scorn, like it gets under our skin? And this proverb is saying that it's better to be dead than to give in to gluttony. And I think the reason for that is because when we have uncontrolled appetite, which again, we are all prone to, it leads to overconsumption. And it leads to us focused on satisfying our own selfish desires. And we can absolutely be gluttonous with food, but we can also be gluttonous when it comes to our clothes and how much we have, our materials and possessions. We can also have gluttony with social media and technology and how much we're using those things. And gluttony is harmful because it pulls us away from God and we're focused again on ourselves and satisfying our own desires instead of feasting on God himself. And one more big area that we need God's help in for self-control that is talked about all over the book of Proverbs is sex and sexuality. Sex is a major theme in the book of Proverbs, and particularly it shares what actions and hearts are displeasing to God. What things lead us away from him and away from wisdom in this area of our lives. Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 23, says, "For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life, keeping you from your neighbor's wife, from the smooth talk of a wayward woman. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty or let her captivate you with her eyes." Verse 28, "Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished." The previous chapter, Proverbs chapter 5, teaches to keep sex within marriage, a marriage covenant or promise. Now, because of our, again, selfish and sinful desires, instead of keeping sex within a marriage covenant, we are tempted into adultery. And adultery, again, is one of those big, strong Bible words, but here's what it means. Sexual experiences of any kind that are outside of a marriage covenant between a husband and a wife. This includes cheating, casual hookups, pornography, and sex before marriage. And if any of these things are something that you're experiencing now, it's not the way of wisdom. It's not the way that starts with fear of the Lord. But it's not shameful to have sexual desires. God created sex, and it is a good gift. But the Bible shows us that wisdom and true worship of God is when sex is experienced only between a husband and wife in a marriage covenant. And I think we have a slide for that. And so clearly, there are a lot of areas where we need God's help for self-control. And we only talked about four of them, but they're all really challenging, difficult areas of our lives. And so I want you to take a moment right now and write down or circle a few of the biggest areas in your life right now where you need self-control. And as God is pointing out to you some of the areas where he's inviting you to seek him for self-control, I want us to remember where we started in the book of Proverbs tonight. Proverbs 25, 28 said, "Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control." But here is what Proverbs 18, verse 10 says. "The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." The name of the Lord is a strong tower. But when we lack self-control, we lose the strength of the strong tower. And so in order to have self-control, we need God. This is really good news for me because most of my Christian life, I have tried to get more self-control just by trying harder, just by willpower, just by saying, I just won't do it again, or I'll just try harder. But the thing is, Jesus exhibited ultimate self-control by willingly dying on the cross to save us from our sins and rising from the dead to enable us to live with him forever. He was God, and he had all the power to stop his death from happening. But the good news of the gospel is that he willingly gave up control of his life out of love for us. And so if we want more self-control, we must continually run to God. I love Proverbs 18:10 because running is intentional. We have to intentionally invest in our relationship with God when we want more self-control. And when I pray in a minute, I'm going to read Titus chapter 2. But what you'll see in those verses is that self-control begins and is sustained by God's grace. It's not about trying harder. It's about leaning more and more on God's grace. And one way that we can learn to say no to ungodliness, one way that we can run to God and live self-controlled, upright, godly lives is to read your Bible every single day. I've been challenging HSM to do this for the last 2-3 years, and I'm just going to keep challenging you to do this with me. One of the best things that you can do, one of the strongest ways you can run to God, is by reading your Bible every day. I really believe that through God's word and through the Holy Spirit, this book has the power to change all of our lives. And here's some research from 2021 from the Center of Bible Engagement. Look what they found when people engaged with the Bible 4 or more times a week. I think we have a slide for that. When people engage with the Bible 4 or more times per week, look at how much these difficult things in our lives, look how much they decrease by. Loneliness drops by 30%. Anger drops by 32%. Bitterness in relationship drops. Alcoholism drops. Feeling spiritually stagnant drops. Viewing pornography drops. But what increases is sharing your faith and discipling another person, or sharing what it looks like to follow Jesus with another person. And so if you have not already, it is not too late to start our summer Bible reading plan through the book of Proverbs. These are available in the lobby at the student wall. And so after your life groups, if you have not started this yet, go ahead and grab one and let's dig into God's word together. Would you bow your heads with me? And I'm going to close our time in prayer reading Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14 over you. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Amen.